Good morning, crew.
I have an announcement to make.
Today is Thursday.
Welcome to our show.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's really, really funny.
Well, maybe not funny, haha, but certainly funny.
Hee hee. It's Thursday.
If you want to change your image, you got to get your face out there on the radio.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Are you adequately prepared to rock?
Wow. Showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Welcome. It's Thursday morning. Yesterday was just an absolutely spectacular day.
It was a little hot.
No.
You know what? I feel like people, I must have looked a little like red-faced because a lot of people confided in me. Like, apropos of, you know, I was not saying anything. They're like, yeah, it's hot, isn't it? I'm like, yes, it is. You can tell me. You can complain to me. It was fine. I loved it.
There was no humidity. I mean, you went outside.
I went for a walk at high noon. Okay. I was sweating.
I think it was Mookie Betts.
Maybe that was his three home runs.
He was so hot, the rest of us could feel it.
That's probably what it was.
That's my theory.
What happened to the Bruins last night?
They were not so hot. Mookie sucked the heat all over the Fenway.
Maybe that was it. Okay. Well, Red Sox win, Bruins loss. We got that coming up for
Celts play tonight.
Celts play tonight. We got Win a Grand in 60 seconds coming up in just about 10 minutes. Hey, what's coming up on the Brian Bell Bus today?
Well, you know what? It's nice weather. Guy's trying to get his boat in the water.
Oh,
I call him as the shop with a problem with the boat name. Going to hold things up today.
Okay, really? Got that coming up for you here. What is a prom poncho?
Yeah, it's controversial.
Okay, prom's coming up. This is strange. 7:10, we'll cover the whole story for you. It's very, very strange. Let me see. P.F. Chang. P.F. Chang has opened their first restaurant in China. We'll tell you what the Chinese think about P.F. Chang. Wow. Coming up this morning, right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR. 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
The excitement is building because it is time to play Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. On the line, we have a player this morning, Stephen Pridham, who is in the catering business, and he's from Woburn, Massachusetts. Good morning, Stephen, and welcome to Win a Grand in 60 Seconds. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Good morning.
Excellent. Great to talk with you. Are you feeling pretty confident this morning?
I'm trying to think of the question she's going to ask, but I have no idea.
Okay. LB now
will... I don't either.
LB will now be asking you 10 questions within 60 seconds. You'll hear the timer just in the background ticking away. You get through these as fast as you possibly can. You come across a question you're not sure about, go ahead and save pass. We get to the end. You have time left over. We go back and pick up the questions. You win $1,000 in cash if you get them all. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
What is the name of the part of the human skeleton that protects the brain?
Skull.
Who was the 44th president of the United States?
George W. Bush.
Who is Ernie's roommate on Sesame Street?
Bert.
True or false, the jaguar is the fastest land animal on the planet?
False.
What is 56 divided by 4?
56 divided by 4 is... 13.
Who said, let them eat cake?
I'm sorry, it's 14. The other answer is 14. I'm sorry.
Okay, who said...
Let them eat cake?
Yep.
Pass.
Which NBA team won its first title in 2015 after waiting for 40 years?
Cleveland Cavaliers.
What is the unit of currency in Russia?
Lira.
What was once known at lunch counters as a Coney Island chicken?
Chicken fillet, no idea.
Time is up. Okay, now here's the deal. You were wrong on three of those answers. I'm not surprised. You passed on some others. So, LB, if you'd go ahead and review for us, please.
Okay, the 44th president of the United States is Barack Obama. Ernie's roommate was Bert. You got that right. Let's see. What's 56 divided by 4? You ended up being correct. Marie Antoinette said, let him eat cake.
I thought it was Tom Carvel.
That's funny. The Golden State Warriors won in 2015 after waiting for 40 years for the NBA title. The ruble is the unit of currency in Russia, and a hot dog is once was known as lunch counters as a Coney Island chicken.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Okay, we got to fine.
Okay.
So we didn't have to.
We're here to be consoling this morning for you, Stephen. A celebration of National Concert Week, so we have a pair of tickets for you to see Chicago and REO Speedwagon together in one great concert, August 5th at the Xfinity Center.
And this
week,
awesome. Hey,
you're going to have a great time.
Yes.
And everybody else, this week only, visit LiveNation.com for an exclusive $20 all-in ticket offer for fans to celebrate the kickoff to its biggest summer season ever. Thank you very much for playing the game today. Enjoy the concert, Stephen. Have a terrific day.
You too. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. Everybody else, hey, you think you got what it takes? Enter the contest now, WRR.com. We'll randomly pick players from online entries, and you could be playing next right here at WROR.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for your 620 Men from Maine episode. Let's do this thing. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie's dropped by for a visit with Doc Sider about a little problem she seems to be having with Ephus. And we hear...
So, how are you doing, Effie?
Oh, I don't know, Doc. Ephus doesn't pay attention to me anymore the way he used to.
Well, I understand, Effie, and I might be able to help. You see, there's this experimental pill that I'm going to give you. You take it home and slip it in the mashed potatoes. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
About a week later, Effie returns for a follow-up with Doc Sider, and we hear...
Well, Effie, how'd that pill work out?
Oh, my God, Doc, the pill worked great. I put it in his mashed potatoes, like you said, and it wasn't 5 minutes, and he jumped up, shoved all the food and dishes on the floor, grabbed me, and had his way with me right there on the table.
Well, geez, I'm sorry, Effie. I didn't realize that pill was so strong. Can I help pay for the damages?
Oh, no, no, no. That's okay. We're not going back to that Denny's anyway.
Join us again for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Hey,
right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lorne and Wally Show.
Okay, everybody, here we go. Coming up right here on this Lorne and Wally Morning Radio program, we're going to have the best excuse ever for you guys why you shouldn't go into the delivery room.
Okay, you know what? James Corden, we watched the late night show, so you didn't have to, and James Corden won the night. First off, he wants to talk about the lost truck driver who didn't touch the potato chips were in the back of his truck.
A truck driver who got lost in the wilderness while delivering a truck full of potato chips emerged after being lost for 4 days. And get this, he didn't eat a single one of the chips. This is incredible discipline. I don't even drive a truck. I ate a truckload of chips yesterday. I think I figured this out. I know what this means. He must have been hauling those, like, disgusting, fat-free, healthy chips. Do you know what I mean? He looked in the back. He was like, baked kale? Are you kidding me? He was lost for 4 days. He didn't eat one of them. Then authorities were like, wait, what happened to the guy you were traveling with?
Precisely. Okay, and then, you know... James Corden had Eva Longoria on, and she's having a baby, and a lot of people are giving her advice on the baby, but James Corden has advice for her husband.
Everybody that you meet has got advice for you on what to do. And how
mostly how to birth. They're like, let me tell you, and then they go into this stories about their vaginas that I don't
real big
want.
Details.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's tough.
I'm like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell your husband not to go and tell him not to go and have a look.
Well, he has 3 kids.
Yeah, but it's like watching your favorite pub burn down.
105.7 WROR. This is the Lorne and Wally Show.
Welcome to the official Lorne and Wally Morning Show Go Figure Report. Hey, go figure this. So yesterday there's a baseball game in New York. The Mets are playing. And there's a guy who plays for the Mets. He's right fielder. His name is Yonis Cespedes. He spent a season playing for the Red Sox. 2014, I think it was. And so he's playing in the game, and he's wearing jewelry. And why professional athletes wear expensive jewelry during ball games, I will never understand. So he's playing.
trying to catch LBF's interest.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's it. Okay. No, accessorizing make the game is the interesting only thing that separates us from the animals.
Okay, so he hits a double, and he's sliding into second base, and his necklace breaks. And it's not just any necklace.
God, I hate that one. It's a diamond
necklace. A diamond necklace. And diamonds go scattered all over the infield. And he grabs what's left of it and throws it down into the dirt.
Come to think of it, I've lost some jewelry during second base.
Ordering a double? Wow. Oh, my God.
And there's video of this.
Wow. I heard that you led the UMass team in doubles.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
And, the umpire comes out and he's helping
and the
pick
video
up the
of
piece.
It.
It's amazing.
You can actually see, the camera, zooms into, the right around second base. You can actually see them.
Yeah, they're that big.
My wife could drop her entire wedding ring and you wouldn't see it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, these are big diamonds.
Wow.
These are big diamonds.
Not to brag.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, at least you got the second base.
Yeah, well.
That's true. Oh, I don't understand it, but I just thought I'd share that with you this morning.
Well, I mean, I heard that you said this, and this is my theory on the fact that baseball players are just like real housewives. He may have been wearing a cubic zirconia version.
Not by his reaction.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Maybe it was a good luck thing, because I know the real housewives, I've learned that they keep their real jewelry in the safe at home and wear the fake stuff on TV.
Then what's the sense of having the real jewelry?
No.
Personal satisfaction.
Yeah. Listen, baseball players are notoriously the dumbest of the professional athletes.
Well, it's...
Wow.
Okay, now, that's a bold and sweeping statement.
I don't think boxers.
It's true. Huh? Muhammad Ali, very smart.
Really? I think hockey players might be.
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
They're
the smartest.
Okay, that was Hank Morris that said that.
That's right.
Okay, and speaking of baseball, Hank, if you would, please.
I was talking about professional players, not little leaguers. I
understand, yes.
Good luck on the MCAS on Friday. Right. Hey, at Tampa Bay, they jumped all over the Bruins with 3 goals in the first period on 19 shots. They beat the Bruins 4-1 at the Garden last night. Patrice Bergeron had the only Bees goal. The Lightning lead the series 2-1. Game 4 tomorrow night at the Garden. The Bruins top line, great. Everybody else, they're struggling. Celtics, they look to go up 2-0 tonight at the Garden against the 76ers. Tip time, 8:30. It's kind of a late game. It's on TNT, national TV. Jaylen Brown still out with the pulled hamstring. But let's talk about Mookie Betts. He made history yesterday, powering the Red Sox past the Royals 5-4 at Fenway.
1-2, a high fly ball, center field, backing up Gordon. He's turning around. Mookie Betts has done it again. He has done it again. His third home run and as many at bats.
Are you kidding me?
Dave O'Brien and Jerry Remy on Nesson. Betts, he's 25 years old. He's the only player in Major League history under 26 years old to have four three-home run games.
Wow.
First player in history to do it. Ted Williams had 3. Mookie's got 11 home runs, tied for the league lead in the majors. Drew Pomeranz got the win yesterday. Craig Kimbrell the save. Bob Ryan was there yesterday. We're going to talk to him at 7:25 to see what he thinks. Sox on Texas tonight. David Price on the mound. More Bruins news. They're going to play the Calgary Flames in an exhibition game in Beijing, China on September 15th.
Go figure.
And the Angels' Albert Pujols needs just 2 more hits to reach the magical milestone of 3,000 in Major League Baseball.
Okay, the Big Brian Bellbuster is coming up next, and today it's all about the boating season.
That's right. It's brought to you by Citizens Bank, and Sean just wants to get his boat in the water, but his wife Tanya wanted to mess with him a little bit, so I called him with some problems naming the boat.
How about the Unsinkable 2?
This is ridiculous.
No. How about Captain Underpants? No?
No.
I think my son might have gotten in here and written that one down. How about Admiral Underpants? Would Admiral Underpants a little more regal? No?
This is a new boat.
How about Titanic? Would you like Titanic?
No.
No?
Oh, God.
How about the irritable bowel movement?
I'm not putting stupid
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Hello?
The Brian Bellbuster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
All right, so we heard from Tanya, and apparently her husband, Sean, he just got a new boat, and he's very excited about it.
Okay.
So she thought we could maybe, I don't know, mess with him for his birthday.
Okay,
birthday.
Cool.
How about that? Okay. So here's what we did with Sean.
Hello?
Yeah, looking for Sean.
Yes, this is Sean.
Hey, Sean, Martin Brody from the Bagley Boat Shop.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I know you got to be excited, man. This is a beautiful boat you got.
Yeah, I am. Me and the wife are real happy.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and we're getting it ready for you. Try and get the name on the back, right? What was the...
Right. Living Large.
Living Large, right. You know, the Coast Guard is pretty strict about boat naming and getting it all registered properly. And
right.
Living Large is actually already taken, so...
we need to come up with something else for the back of the boat.
Oh.
You know, I don't
okay.
know.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed that Living Large is taken, but, I mean, let's we got, get something cool on.
Yeah, have you ever thought of maybe, you know, like Suck My Wake?
Oh.
That's a pretty good one.
No, I am, no. sir.
No.
No, I have not.
Yeah, not interested in that. Okay, I know you guys are South Shore. Have you thought about maybe Go to Hull?
No.
The Ahoy Vey?
No.
How about Bodie McBoat Face?
No, you've got to come up with something better
no.
than this.
Piece of ship? How about a piece of ship?
No, that's foul.
You probably wouldn't like chicken ship.
No.
How about the Unsinkable 2?
This is ridiculous.
No. How about Captain Underpants? No.
No.
I think my son might have gotten in here and written that one down. How about Admiral Underpants? Would Admiral Underpants a little more regal? No.
This is a new boat.
How about Titanic? Would you like Titanic?
No. Oh, God.
How about the Irritable Bowel Movement?
I'm not putting some stupid clap on the back of my boat.
How about this one? You could name it after you, and then anyone you come across, you can say, "Hey, I named my boat after you."
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. No, I want something like Living Large. That's what I really.
That's where you went wrong. There is you picked one that was a little too simple.
I'd like to keep it simple. There's got to be something.
This is your first boat, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you didn't know all that goes into it then. You really should have done some research there.
Well, I didn't think this would be the most difficult part, sir.
I know.
To be honest with you.
Because if we can't come up with a name, I'm going to have to start just charging you storage to keep it in my shop until you come up with a name, you know
we'll
what I mean?
We'll get a name, and I'm getting a little fed up with it, I'll be honest with you.
How about Hot Ruddered Bum?
No, God, this is just way more trouble than I thought I'd have to deal with today.
Yeah, it's not easy being a boat owner.
No, the name shouldn't be the biggest problem. If you have a boat, you can put anyone.
I do have a boat, actually. I called it the Living Large.
You're a jerk.
You know what, Sean? This is Brian Bell from the Lorna Wally Show. You're caught right now in a Brian Bell buster.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. You have to go in. Oh, my God. I was getting pissed.
Your wife, Tanya, gave us a call and wanted to get on your case for your birthday, and she knows how excited you are for the new boat.
Oh, she got me good.
And don't worry.
How's it going?
I'm pretty sure that you'll have the Living Large in the water and having a good time, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Here we go. It's prom season, and for some reason or another, problems always seem to pop up around prom season.
Yes. Has this ever happened to you?
Standing at 5'7", 5'9" if you count the heels, straight out of Great Lakes High School, the prettiest girl in all of prom, Kayla Mann.
Oh, honey, I never thought I'd see you in a dress.
Technically, it's not a full dress. Some material is missing from the middle there.
Okay, you look great.
All right. Yeah, I think it's time to go.
Okay, that's from Blockers with John Cena. All right, we're talking about prom season, prom dresses, and the skimpy prom dresses that some people are wearing. You know, that's just their, I feel like they're pretty elegant and tasteful these days. But apparently at a school in Detroit, a Catholic school in Detroit, they don't. And they have decided to create the prom poncho. It's actually a modesty poncho. Oh, my God. This is so Handmaid's Tale.
Wow.
Some smart students at Divine Child High School in Dearborn, Michigan, are calling the policy a form of body shaming, which it is. It's a pink poncho on display inside of the school with a note saying they will be handed to girls wearing dresses that violate the school's code. The report online doesn't outline the school's dress code for the May 12th prom, but a teacher says someone will be checking for compliance at the door. Who gets that creep a job, by the way?
Really?
Oh, it's Mr. Sullivan from shop. Hi. Do I do a spin?
Spin around. Let me check you out.
And not surprisingly, theology teacher Mary Pat O'Malley came up with the idea.
Oh, God.
Oh, Mary Pat.
Anyway, so...
Get a Mary Pat down.
It's a Mary Pat down. Okay. That's what they're going to call it in Michigan now. Oh, you got a Mary Pat down at prom, did you? This whole concept of, these girls are not going to the prom wearing things that are obscene. They're just, it's certainly about taste. You know, it's like a spaghetti strap gown with a plunging neckline. And when I say plunging, it's, you know, it's like movie stars wear it. That's, you know, it might be inappropriate to somebody, but it's not. I mean, if you look in the magazines and you look wherever. And I just think that this is ridiculous because this is my advice, my public service advice to all the high school girls.
A public service announcement now.
When it comes to wearing skimpy prom dresses. Do it now. Do it now.
What?
Yes, do it now. Take it from this 46-year-old Spanx wearing bingo arm toting mom
right here. Yep.
This is you look great.
This is as good as you're going to look ever.
Your skin is the most amazing it's ever going to be. I know that you probably look in the mirror and you're like, "Ew, I'm hit." You look great. You're awesome. Flaunt it. Don't be gross. But be confident and don't let anybody shame you into thinking that you should cover up, because you shouldn't, because you're going to spend your whole life doing that. Trust me, I can't wear a sleeveless dress without, you know, it's awful.
And as a father of 21 and 22-year-old girls, do not wear patent leather shoes with that dress.
Okay, thank you very much, Dad. We appreciate it. Well, there you go.
There you have it. So
thank you very much.
From me, I'm the Lauren and Wally Show. I'm roping you all in.
Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, coming up next, right here, we got your Men from Maine 720 edition. This is a special request, Men from Maine. Doc Sider, it seems he's miraculously cured the Widow Perkins. We'll share coming up next, right here, WROR. If you happen to be down in a little roadie today, you know Butch from Woonsocket, tell him happy birthday. Yep, Butch from Woonsocket's birthday today. Butch, we got a call from your daughter, Chris. And she wanted to hear a Men from Maine for her dad this morning. So this is for you, Butch. Have yourself a very happy birthday. Here's your Men from Maine episode.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus is sitting in Doc Sider's office waiting for his appointment when the old Widow Perkins walks past him to see the doctor. Widow Perkins is pitifully hunched over on her cane when she walks in, but 5 minutes later she comes out and leaves the office standing up perfectly straight. When Ephus finally sees the doctor, we hear,
"My God, Doc, I just can't believe the marvels of modern medicine.
Huh?
When the Widow Perkins come in, she was all hunched over, but when she left, she was standing up straight and tall.
Well,
did you give her a wonder drug?
No.
A chiropractic adjustment?
No.
Well, how about one of them homeopathetic pills?
No.
Well, my God, Doc, what did you give her?
A longer cane. And soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine.
Yeah?
Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
What the f*** is that?
The Lorne and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is what you've been waiting for. It is time for our weekly visit with Mr. Everything. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Ryan, legendary sports columnist for the mighty Boston Globe. And he's on ESPN, and he's written a million books, and you can buy one near you.
And he's fantastic on the radio with podcast, too.
Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay, could you start off with a miracle of Moogie?
Yeah, I was fortunate and privileged to be there yesterday. What do you say? First of all, he's the first. Let's get the facts out of the way. In hitting 3 home runs for the second time this year, it gives him 4 career, which means he is the only Red Sox player in history. No Ted Williams, Carl Yastrzemski, Manny Ramirez, Poppy. No one else in Red Sox history has had 4 3 home run games.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yes. I mean, considering how young he is, number one, with a chance to do more. But just the idea of it, when you look at him, and you don't think him physically in the mold of those other sluggers, although Yaz wasn't that big either. Yaz is, but he's smaller. He's about 5'9". People have to understand this. About 175 pounds.
Yeah.
But his high-hand-eye coordination, his timing, obviously, is phenomenal. I mean, right now, he has been as good as any player in baseball at the beginning of this season.
Amazing.
Bob, do you consider him one of the top 5 players in Major League Baseball?
Yes. The answer is positively, based on performance this year.
Wow.
You know, I don't know how you can get away from it. So we can start making a list, but he's got to be on it. Any list you have of 5, he's got to be on it.
Okay, you know, obviously the Yankees are on fire right now.
Yes.
Is that what it's going to boil down to at the end
of
the season?
Well, it seems so. I think you're going to have to win 98 games or so. That's a lot to win the division. Those two are going to separate themselves. It's going to be tremendous down the stretch. Yes, the Yankees are put in now, rounding into the form that people predicted. They have this phenomenal lineup, and if they get it backed up by the pitching that they you know, need, they're going to be very difficult to beat. I mean, that lineup is for real, and it's deep, and it's not just the big names that you know, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge, and even now Gary Sanchez, but the auxiliary people, Didi Gregorius at short has been a monster. He might be in that list of five, and the third baseman rookie Andujar has been terrific, and on it's really been a tremendous offensive show for the Yankees.
I'm just curious, Bob. I mean, the Red Sox from last year to this year, is it really just playing up to your potential? And
well, in some cases it is. I felt that when in feeling confident about this season, I said, look, certain people I think are going to play better. Now, Mookie was good last year, but he was not anywhere near as good as he was in 2016 when he was the runner-up for MVP. Yep. I thought he'll be better. Bogarts, who got hit on that pitch at the beginning of July last year, was never the same. We thought he would be better, and obviously he is. I mean, Hanley, who assured us that it was about health, and we'd get that shoulder fixed, he's going to be back, and the answer is there. You're looking at it. So, yes, in some cases it's about that. Other cases it's about the pitching, obviously, which when they were 17-2, the number one story was the exceptional starting pitching. And then, of course, the manager is just a different tone. This is not to denigrate John Farrell, but they needed a change, just as the Bruins needed a change. Claude Julien will go down in their history as one of the most, as maybe the most successful coach, but at the time, the time had come where they needed a change. They needed another voice, they needed another approach. They get it with Bruce Cassidy, and it may turn out to be the same thing with the Red Sox.
Hey, okay. Can this Bruins team, can they come back and beat Tampa
Bay?
Well,
that last night was disturbing. That was the word flat doesn't begin to describe the tepid nature of their non-response to things last night. I mean, I'm driving in the car, and I'm coming back after spending some time after the game and eating and coming home, and it's 2-0, but just after they dropped the puck. And, you know, they never dug out of that hole. They were flat. Their defense was terrible. They didn't give Tuca a chance. I hope that game is out of their system. We know they're better than that. But that was very disappointing for their first home game.
Do you think this is some of their youth coming through because they've never been there before?
I'd like not to lean on that. I just don't know why they just did not have it. They didn't have it. Now they're going to have to rouse themselves. I think this means game four will be a quacka.
A clock. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of more games tonight, the Celtics are back at it. Now, this is I think that everybody who's followed the seasons from the Celtics from the beginning of the season is actually amazed at what they've been able to accomplish despite the injuries and everything that's going on. What do you think?
I revised my opinion a little bit. You know, I'm always very cautious about the Celtics. I've been saying to you and everyone else for the whole playoff experience is playing with house money, and I still believe that. But that performance the other night, the last two games actually, are really eye opening. They're really good. Philadelphia, they caught Philadelphia with having not played in 6 days, and Philadelphia will shoot the ball better than they did the other night. The thing about playoffs, which is so fascinating, and it never changes in basketball, is the adjustments. Coaches will make, and you'll see that Philadelphia will have to think about doing something differently, and the Celtics will have to adjust, and then blah blah blah. But you really should feel good about the Celtics. And the guy I got to give props to is Terry Rozier, because when he was when he was drafted out of Louisville, all they talked about was his speed, and it was, oh, this kid's really fast, and this kid, he'll be able to guard, you know, as a point guard. And they didn't mention his offense at all. You know why? Because it wasn't that great. Well, he has done the work that we don't see. He's been in the gym. He's done that work in the offseason. He has made himself into a potent offensive threat. And he has also taken advantage of his opportunity. You know, hey, they need me with Kyrie Irving out. And can you ask more of him? No, you can't. This guy deserves a lot of credit.
I like that. And I also just like watching Shane Larkin, because we're pretty much the same height.
Oh. Shane Larkin, a very quiet pickup that Danny made. You know, that guy was out of the league, and he's been doing his job as well. And of course, he's got the pedigree. We know he's a Hall of Famer, Brian Larkin's son.
Yeah, Barry Larkin. Yeah.
But he has been a very quiet supporting actor. Yes.
Well, there you go, Mr. Everything, the Bob Ryan Report. And do you have any shameless plugs for us?
No, I'm still Round the Horn coming up next week. I'm not sure what day yet. It'll be Monday, probably Monday. But there's always those Bob Ryan Boston podcasts, because the great thing about a podcast is that you go pick one out and you pick any one you want. We got 39 of them hanging out there. I welcome you to try one.
Each one more brilliant than the one preceding
it. I was waiting for you to say that.
Yeah. It would sound weird if you said it, Bob.
Yeah. It would sound very weird if you said it. But I said it just the way you wrote it out. Well, thank you very much, and have yourself a fabulous day. We'll talk with you next week. Bob Ryan. Okay. Coming up on the Dirty Laundry Update at 7:45 this morning.
The worst rock and roll act in history has been named.
Oh my.
I'm going to tell
the
you what it
worst
is.
Worst in history. Oh.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dirty Laundry Update, 7:45 is on the air. LBF, what are you going to do today? This is going to be, you're going to reveal the
worst ever? I can't, this is crazy. And this is brought to you by Neighborhood Health Plan. Okay, so this columnist, this music columnist.
Critic.
Yeah. For Vulture.com. Yeah. Really respected in the industry. Yeah. Has written this massive critique of all of the acts in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And he has ranked them best to worst. And you're not going to believe what the worst act in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is.
I don't even know where to start.
Do you have any idea? Because.
Okay, I'm trying to think of, you know.
In your opinion, like, who do you dislike?
Well, that's a long
I'm not counting people in this room.
dislike. Or dislike them. It's not I don't dislike dislike the people.
I just don't like the podcast.
I just don't like the music.
Oh, wow.
Okay, the people who like music, I think, is overrated.
Yeah.
I always thought Queen was a little overrated.
Oh, well, you and Bill Wyman have something in common, although it's not the worst act, he says. Queen is number two. He calls Queen.
Really?
When popularity is factored in, Queen is the most overrated band in the history of pop music. Look at you.
Really?
All right, but the number one worst act in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is Bon Jovi, he says.
What?
No kidding.
Whoa!
See, now wow. I disagree with that. And he's a critic. It's all a matter of taste.
Well, you know, it's a little bit more than that when you're a critic, because when you're a critic, you're really well-versed in the history and all that other stuff. You know, you can't just dismiss a critic like, oh, it's just his opinion. Of course, it's just his opinion, but his opinion is backed up by, like, a lot of research and things like that. But let me tell you what he said about Bon Jovi.
Yeah, okay.
And I loves me some Bon Jovi, so I don't know. He said they outsourced their songwriting to Desmond Child so they could focus on hairdos and marketing. He calls their induction comical and says they aren't in a rock band. They're the guys in the movie about the rock band.
Wow.
That's pretty making a statement.
Yeah. They did a great job on their hair, though.
You know, the only problem was they sold millions and millions and millions of songs.
Critics, you know, like I said, you know, that's like a food critic. And you're like, Twinkies outsell, you know, anything that's like a... You know, the most famous, nicest restaurant in New York City. But
yeah, of course, yeah.
But anyway, Journey. This is what he says about Journey. Rounding up the worst five. Journey, the ultimate guilty pleasure band. What's wrong with guilty pleasure?
Nothing wrong with that, you know?
Chicago.
Really? Chicago is a game changer.
Number four. This is what he says. He's so mean. A self-indulgent light rock ensemble known first for bringing horn charts into the mix and second for a seemingly unending string of two and even four record sets in the 70s. I love a record set.
Hey, you know, and I think he's also confusing old Chicago and new Chicago.
You're right. 1985, Peter Cetera. The ladies love Peter Cetera, right?
Yeah, the ladies love Cetera.
Yeah, see? That's what I was saying.
By default, you love Cetera.
I know. Everybody loves Cetera. Right. But you said there was a...
There's a third lead singer that nobody knows. Right, yeah. And so people get disenfranchised.
Okay, anyway, so who are the good? Who
Rush
does he
is
like?
Number five, by the way.
Yeah. Rush, really?
Yeah, they slack a single song you could play for someone to try to convince them of the band's importance. Slapping the bass.
Yeah, you either are or you're not.
Okay, number three, best.
Best.
The best. And this guy, he just has really strong opinions about everything. And the thing is that at number three, he says Bob Dylan. Yeah. Bob Dylan, he says this, Blood on the Tracks is the best rock album ever made. Not even the Beatles can compete with the sheer quantity of its essential songs.
Really?
Boom, drop the mic.
Wow, really?
Well, speaking of the Beatles, they're number two.
Beatles are pretty good.
Beatles are two. I heard that's a pretty good band. I heard they were good.
Yeah, they're pretty decent. Okay, and then number one, Chuck Berry.
He changed rock. He invented rock and roll.
This is what the critic says. He's one of the three or four people who laid out one of the original pieces of the rock puzzle. He decisively introduced real lyric writing to pop music. Blah, blah, blah.
Plus, he was referencing Back to the Future. That does it for me.
That wrapped up the whole thing, didn't it?
Anyway, we will put the full controversial list up on WROR.com.
Yes.
And
I would
love to hear your opinion, so definitely comment on the Facebook, because I love Barry Manilow, and I don't think he made the list.
Okay, we got your...
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
It's that time to find out if you've got what it takes. Yes, win a grand in 60 seconds. The game is on the air, and our player this morning is in the bread business.
Oh, I love bread.
Okay, he's from Franklin, Massachusetts. His name is Dave McNulty. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to the Lauren and Wally Show, and how you doing today?
Doing great.
Excellent. You sound like a confident kind of guy. By the way, would you like to give your company a little plug here? Which bread company you work for?
I work for Khaleesi Bakery down in Lincoln, Rhode Island.
Oh.
Really? Do you make challah bread? Are you a challah bread boy?
So,
no.
Hey, here's what's going to happen.
You want to win some bread?
Yeah.
LBF is going to give you 10 questions within a 60-second time frame. You will be hearing the ticker in the background ticking off. At the end of the 60 seconds, the buzzer alarm will end the game. If you have answered all 10 questions correctly in 60 seconds, you win $1,000 in cash. It's very, very simple. If at any time you feel like you don't know an answer, say pass, move on. We get to the end, got time left over. We'll come back and pick it up. In the meantime, we're ready to play the game if you're ready. You all set, Dave?
Yes, go fast, LB.
Okay.
All right, may the odds ever be in your favor.
Speak up good and loud and be quick on this. 3, 2, 1, go.
The dingo is a feral dog native to what country?
Australia.
What is the most visited museum in Europe?
Wax Museum.
What does BMW stand for?
British Motor Works.
What was Yogi Berra's first real first name?
Pat.
Who is the only athlete to play in a Super Bowl and a World Series?
Pat.
What's the most common type of blood in humans?
O positive.
Created in 2009, what was the first decentralized cryptocurrency?
Bitcoin.
Sriracha hot sauce is named after the city located in this country.
Germany.
What is the name of Bon Jovi's first album?
Pass.
Who assassinated Abraham Lincoln?
Time is up.
How about the Unsinkable 2?
Okay, according to my calculations,
I achieved three
correct answers on that.
Okay. So,
how about the Unsinkable 2?
All right, so the most visited museum in Europe is the Louvre in Paris. BMW stands for Bavarian Motor Works. The Yogi Berra's real first name was Lawrence. Deion Sanders was the only athlete to play in a Super Bowl and a World Series. Sriracha is from Thailand. And the name of Bon Jovi's first album is Bon Jovi. And John Wilkes Booth assassinated Abraham Lincoln. But now you know.
Have no fear, Dave. We've got a consolation prize coming your way in celebration of National Concert Week. You have won a pair of tickets to see Chicago and REO Speedwagon. They're performing together.
That's awesome.
August 5th, Xfinity Center. It's a great show. You're going to love this. And this week only. Everybody else, visit LiveNation.com for an exclusive $20 all-in ticket offer. Fast to celebrate the kickoff. It's the biggest summer season ever. Hey, enjoy the show, Dave. Thanks for playing the game, and have yourself a fabulous day, okay?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet. In the meantime, everybody else, if you want to play, you got to enter. Log on to WRR.com, enter to play, and win $1,000, a grand in 60 seconds, right here at WROR. Okay. You got to get a load of this, everybody, because it is time now here on the Lorna Wally Morning Show to introduce you and welcome back to the Lorna Wally Show. If you've never seen him before or heard him before, he is, I believe I can safely say this, the world's only professional stand-up Lebanese comedian from Lebanon. Am I correct on that, Nimmer?
From Lebanon, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, from Lebanon, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
the Middle East, rife with East. Comedy.
Okay. Rife with comedy.
So many
you know,
comedians.
In every yes. Other other profession, you know, tons and tons of Lebanese, successful Lebanese... Singers. Name a Lebanese singer.
Paul Anka.
Oh, okay. Name a an actress.
Salma Hayek.
Okay.
Ooh.
Name an athlete.
Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie, okay.
Yeah,
Doug
right. Flutie.
Okay, so... But you're the first one ever from Lebanon to become a
Yeah, because I can't act, I can't sing, and I can't throw a ball to save my life, but I can tell a joke.
Okay. So now the crazy thing is, Nimmer grew up, was born in Lebanon, and then he moved to San Diego when he's 2 years old. And he falls in love with stand-up comedy, and he decides he's going to be a stand-up comedian. Now, that's the good news. Then the bad news, his family moves back to Lebanon when he's 12, and they have no clubs in Lebanon, right?
Yeah, no, yeah.
So what did you do?
We started the stand-up comedy scene back in 1999. I had to build it up from the ground up, literally.
Really?
From scratch. There was no infrastructure, nothing. And I started in Beirut, and then, for lack of a better term, it blew up across the Middle East.
Pretty good term.
Hey, I'm just putting it in a way.
I
know.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, it's funny because when you start out in comedy, a lot of times you'll bomb, and it's totally.
That's why. That's why my last special was called "No Bombing in Beirut."
Exactly.
No Bombing in Beirut.
It was a clever play.
And the new special, I'm concerned because I know you're getting married, and the new special is called "Love Isn't the Answer."
It's a cry for help.
Is it?
It's really? A cry for help.
It's coming up.
Okay? Coming up. Yeah, no, it's not. It has nothing to do with the marriage thing.
Okay, good.
In fact, the end of the show ends on a positive note about falling in love and getting married.
Really?
That's all I'll say. The final line.
Okay.
Okay.
You're getting married July 1st, right?
I am getting married July 1st. That's why I have the line in there.
Okay.
So, fact, where did you meet the bride?
I met her in Lebanon at a Red Bull party.
Oh really?
Yeah, she used to work
2 a.m. or
she
what?
She used to work with Red Bull, and they were having like a Christmas party, you know, employee kind of Christmas thing. She had left Red Bull, but you know they're all friends, and she was there. It was a party I didn't want to go to either. I never worked at Red Bull, but as you know, we had worked together. And,
sure, yeah.
And so they had sponsored me back in the day for my athleticism on stage.
I understand. Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say right now.
You do 9-hour comedy shows.
9-hour comedy shows, doing backflips and somersaults. And I walked up to the party, and I saw her for the first time, and I knew immediately that I was going to marry her. It was the weirdest thing ever. I actually called a friend over. I voice noted some of my friends. I was like, I met the woman I'm going to marry. I'll ask her to marry me in a year. Remember this. And
amazing. I love stories.
And on the one-year
like
anniversary you did?
Almost. Of meeting almost to the... Yeah, literally.
That's pretty amazing.
How did you know?
I don't... It was... So, her butt... Let me tell you. First of all, yeah. You know, there are many variables in this life, but when you see a foundation like that, you just know.
I literally was looking at you like, oh my God, what a wonderful man.
And then out the window.
Yeah. Out the window. No, on a serious note, her incredible butt aside, it's a weird energy. I can't explain it.
Really?
I had not.
Was it the Red Bull?
I hadn't had any.
Oh, okay.
I hadn't had any. Maybe it was. Maybe she had some and it was reverberating. I have no idea. All I know is that I saw her and I knew. And it was weird because I had left my parents' house that day after having a huge 4-hour conversation to tell them to get off my back about marriage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, literally.
Really?
I was like, look.
Were they pressuring you?
They were.
Yeah, that's what they did.
But when I left, they were so convinced that marriage was not what was right for me. Because I was like, look, I'm traveling all the time. I don't have time to sit and really get to know someone. Why would you want to rush me into something where somebody might screw up my life or our relationship?
Obviously, they wanted to get you out of the house.
Well, I already was out of the house. That was the whole thing. I was like, why are you guys...
But you were an embarrassment to the family.
I was an embarrassment to the family. Yeah. Okay. I was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. Yeah. I toured the world. I'm doing stand-up everywhere. Yeah. But why aren't you married? Yeah. It's basically the whole... None of that mattered.
No.
None of that mattered. It was always like... People would ask him, how's Nimmer doing? He's good. He's, you know, all over the world. No, still not married. But it's all good. You know, no matter what you're doing.
Hey, you got to see this show. He's got, and it's a one show only. It's going to be at the Wilbur, and it's coming up Saturday night. TheWilbur.com if you want to get tickets. Remember, it's only one show, and it's Saturday night at 7 o'clock. TheWilbur.com. And we're going to find out about his big wedding plans. And you're not going to believe about he's not having one wedding, but two weddings. But with one bride. I will explain in a minute.
Cultural first. Differences there.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yep.
Okay. The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Special guest right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous Nimmer, the Lebanese stand-up comedian, the first and only stand-up comedian from Lebanon. As far as we know, you don't know any new ones, do you?
To be coming from Lebanon, definitely the only one. Okay. There were Lebanese, I mean, right?
Danny Thomas was a Lebanese stand-up comedian, but he didn't grow up in Lebanon.
No.
Okay.
That's my claim to fame.
Yeah. Okay. So
I survived the wars and came out here to make the people laugh.
There you go. So we were just talking about cultural differences because Hank asked Nimmer, says, you know, you travel a lot, what's the most beautiful place? And we're finding out there's some places we've never even imagined.
Yeah, in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, yeah.
I said, I'm not going to talk about my own country. I always do that. But the Sultanate of Oman is a beautiful, beautiful country in the Middle East. Stunning.
Do they have Airbnbs there?
I think they would, actually. Just put Sultanate of Oman. Is gorgeous. Another gorgeous place in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia. I'm just kidding.
Throwing some shade.
It's right next to Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's in between the United Arab Emirates, where it's Dubai and Abu Dhabi,
okay.
And Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Basically, shares three borders with them and the sea.
Look, they have a beachfront castle.
You know, the thing is,
the Portuguese occupied them.
I think most Americans are a little weak on their Middle East geography.
Well, I mean, we tend to only export the war aspect of our geography, and which isn't, I don't fault America for that. That's, as an American myself, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Because that was me going to the Middle East. That's what I expected. Yeah. And I'm from, you know, originally, ethnically, I'm an Arab, so you would think that I would be more quote unquote woke. but no. I went there terrified. Now that I know everything,
makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Now that I know everything, I come back here. I meet some of my Lebanese American family and stuff, and they look at me. They're like, "So what was it like?" And I'm like, "Oh, we partied till like 10 a.m. and we were going." And they're like, "No, what about the war?" I'm like, "What war?" Like, so it's all You know, it's a different. It's sensationalism versus reality.
You should be on the travel and tourism committee.
I should.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll be back.
Okay. Now you're getting married July 1st, I believe it is.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And you're doing two weddings.
Yeah.
One is for you guys, you know, the two of you, and then the other is for the family, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the one for the family is in Lebanon, right?
Has to be in Lebanon.
How many people are going to be tell everybody how many people are going to be at your wedding?
So at my wedding, I'm this is my hope and dream, but I don't know if I can achieve it. I'm going to try to make it that it's only 200 to 300 people.
Yeah.
Lebanese weddings on average will be like average. Your normal wedding is 600 people.
Oh my God.
But it's not like 600 people and it's like a crazy mess. It's like huge budgets, millions of dollars. Like they're like these extravagant affairs. I dated this girl once and I remember she said, if we get married, how many people do you think would be at our wedding? And, you know, I was like, maybe 100, 150. She's like, 1,000? I was like, like 100. She goes, because I always thought it would be like 3,000 or 4,000. I said, the hell? From an incredibly, incredibly wealthy family. And she told me this. I'll never forget. I said, how the hell am I going to pay for a wedding for 3,000 people? Like, that's going to cost. And by the way, it has to be ultra high. But
over
like,
the
walk
top.
Into these weddings. You will have weddings in castles and stuff that are in Lebanon and are Roman ruins and like crazy stuff. And she goes, oh, just get a loan from the bank. I was like, I'm not going to get a loan for my wedding. She's like, you idiot. Get the loan. Whatever it costs. What is it? 8-9 million? Get the loan. Do the wedding. My dad's friends alone will be making about 14, 15 million from the wedding. Because the gift, they give back money. So it's like this weird regurgitation.
Yeah, it's kind of like
it's
that.
A business.
It is. You know, you think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feed them all? Like, is it a sit-down dinner?
Like you got to have food for everybody. And I'm telling you, nobody puts on parties like the Lebanese.
A lot of hummus.
A lot of hummus and more.
I want to go to one of these weddings.
They're a lot of fun.
I mean, obviously, an invite's not that difficult.
Puff Daddy did a wedding recently in Lebanon.
He came
in. He performed at a wedding. That's what a Lebanese wedding is like.
Oh, bring in the big stars on. Yeah, okay, note to self: do not get married in Lebanon.
No,
but I don't come from that money. Yeah. My parents weren't like. So you'll have families in Lebanon that, you know, like, made money from the carpet industry, but they had cocaine in the carpets and stuff like that. Like, I'm not from those. I don't have that kind of money. So
regular carpet.
I have regular carpet money.
Yeah, but that Coke carpet could really fly, that magic carpet, man.
Wow.
Okay, let me tell you. Nemmer, Wilbur Theater. It's coming up Saturday night, 7 o'clock. There's only one show. TheWilbur.com. Get your tickets now because it will sell out. We guarantee you. Hey, Nemmer, thanks for coming back and joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really
love
that show.
Love isn't the answer.
Love isn't the answer.
Okay.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.